Gospel readings this time of Advent are urging us to look at our lives and purify them for the grace of Christmas. As you know, I want to continue looking at the prophecies of Isaiah. This one comes from chapter 26. You have to try to understand that there's like God's view of reality, and it's the biblical view of reality. This text, as we have here, you see this promise that there would be a new city. You see, a strong city. Now, this is all, it's moving on two levels, as all the saints saw, Old Testament and New. The city, this is chapter 26, you know, in that part of the world, if you didn't live inside a strong city, you were extremely vulnerable. And so people crowded into the city or lived next to the walls of it. But the strong city, you see, is God. The Lord is an eternal rock. And so, if you read the commentaries of the fathers, and we have right now two sets of commentaries, collections of commentaries on Isaiah by the fathers. I'm going to start another way. You see, every other book, the words signify something. In this book, the realities signify another reality, not just the words. That can only happen in God's book, because He controls the realities as well as the words. So this is a prophecy about having a strong city that is protected, and a nation that is just will come and live there, keeps faith. And then it goes on to urge people. So what it's telling us, you see, now we know. See, that the reality, the words, the designated by the words, is the church. Strong city. Why? Because it's the body of Christ. This is, you see, I was just talking to a young scholar last night who's working with me on the, actually with him now, on the Gospel of John. And I've known him since he was a college kid. Now he's a scholar, married with a baby, and they're doing fine. And so to try to get this, mediate this notion that the whole history of Israel is a foreshadowing of the incarnation. All those, Abraham, Isaac, you know, they're all, I know this is kind of hard. I thought I really had to try this morning to say something, because we're doing Isaiah. Because Isaiah is talking about Christ. That isn't, he's not talking about Christ the way Matthew is, because Matthew met him, knew him, was at the Passion. Met him after he rose from the dead. But this man sees this perspective. And so, as St. Thomas says, you see, only God can have one thing stand for another thing, reveal another thing. Everybody else can use words, but God has another language. It's the language of event. And that's, now we instinctively know this in a way, right? Who's David? Christ, right? And there are places where that shines forth. He's a crook and so forth at times, you know, an adulterer. But he's also the leader of Israel, who's willing to lay down his life leading his army to protect Israel. And he's the one who was promised an eternal kingdom. Everybody would know that. Huh? So that reality is Christ. And so there are times when it shines forth. For instance, when Absalom led an army against his father, as Nathan had predicted, from now on the sword will never part from your house. Why? Because you committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered. So that will be, but I will never take my chesed from you. But you're going to suffer because you sinned. And so Absalom revolts. David said to Joab, don't kill my son Absalom. Joab did kill his son Absalom. So the messenger came back. And we won, fine. How's my son Absalom? Would that all God, that all David's enemies would be like that man? So he knows he was dead. So what does David do? This is the son who rebelled against him, slept with all his own wives up on the roof of the palace to show this is, I've thrown down the gauntlet. There's no going back. And Nathan already predicted that. What does David do? He weeps over that rebellious son. Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom. Who would grant to me that I could die for you? Absalom. Who's that? Don't you hear it? You see? That's the grace of Christ already existing in David. So David is revealing Christ, not just the words about David. Am I okay so far? You know this anyway, because it's instinct, right? Almost all of the words that Paul uses to describe this unbelievable reality of what happened at the death and resurrection of Jesus, all the vocabulary comes from where? Redemption, salvation, a special people, Exodus. Exodus stands for, reveals the passion. And so you see, when we study, a strong city have we, and he sets up walls and ramparts to protect us. Open up the gates and let in a nation that is just, one that keeps faith, a nation of firm purpose. You keep in peace, for its trust is in you. This strong city is the church. You see? Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an eternal rock upon which the wise man built his house, right? He humbles those in high places, and the lofty city he brings down. He tumbles it to the ground and levels it with the dust. It is trampled. This is too strong. I wonder how they translate it here. It's not just, no, they're missing something. You know, we all do. Let me look at this. You see. Yeah, you see. It is stamped by the ragle ani. In other words, it isn't. It's saying, who's going to enter this city? Whose feet are going to walk in this city? The poor. The needy, the poor man, the anav, huh? The poor man. That's who belongs in this city. The rich man, he can go build his own if he wants, but it won't last. The poor man. When they, I got just 1 minute to go. when they came back from exile and built their city again, you know, it's like immigrants anywhere, you know. They want to build the Polish church, the Italian church, the French church. You know, we got a little town, you have 12 churches, you know, and they don't talk to each other. And that's supposed to be the Catholic faith. So they did that. We built a temple for God, but they also to say, we're back, we're here. You know, and God saw that. And he said, look, the earth is mine, the heavens are mine. What kind of a temple are you going to build for me? Get real. This is the one for whom I have respect. The one who is poor and lonely and trembles at my word. So those are the ones who make it into the city. So you see this incredible mystic, enlightened by God, he knows he's talking about a prophecy to have the city rebuilt. Huh? This is Isaiah 26. It hasn't even been destroyed yet. Strong. But even as he does that, he knows he's saying beyond that something else. But he can't take us there because it isn't clear until Christ comes that he, his body, is our strong city. And that's why the church says, get ready for Christmas, when the Lord Christ will come and take up a new, deeper dwelling in the church, if you just open your hearts. And it'll have strong walls of faith, of security, of love. People will flock to come. And so even if it's persecuted, it will never fail. I thought we should look at that today because I'm doing Isaiah day by day by day, and you might wonder why, but it's, you see, the Spirit of Christ spoke in the prophets, as Peter says. So these are promising us, huh? What? Heaven. Where is the strong, immovable city of delight? With the Trinity. So this Christmas is a little foretaste, not only because the turkey will be good and I'll get a new tie, but because Christ will be there in a new way. So